read Daniel chapter 6. We're going to look at all 28 verses this morning and come to just the heart of the passage here today. So if you would, in honor of reading God's word, stand together with me this morning. And pray that God would truly bless the reading of his word to our understanding today. Remember, in these chapters, from chapter 2 to chapter 7, God is giving a picture of the Gentile history through to the end of time. And so we see a picture here today that's different than what we've looked at before. But we'll see a picture of what it is to know God and to trust God in a world that is full of evil and full of immorality and pagan societies around us. And we'll see a picture of what it means to be faithful to God and in the life of Daniel. So look with me beginning at verse 1. Chapter 6 and verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts to them and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion, no fault in him, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. We've heard those words before. All the presidents of the kingdom and governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except of you, O king, that he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed. And he gave thanks before his God as he had done before. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, except of you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot change. Then answered they, and they said before the king, that Daniel, who is of the children of the captivity of Judah, does not regard you, O king, nor the decree that you have signed, but he makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. And he set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establishes may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, your kingdom, your God, whom you serve continually, he will deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, so that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were there instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste into the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried, with a loud voice, with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God whom you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before you, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them, their children, and their wives. And the lions had the mastery of them, and they broke all their bones in pieces before they ever hit the bottom of the den. Then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth. Here's what he said. Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. And he delivers and he rescues and he works signs and wonders in heaven and earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we come this morning. And our Father, today we thank you for the reading of your word. We thank you, Father, for the power of your grace and mercy that we've just read about in the life of a servant of yours who lived some 2,500 years ago. And we know, Father, that our lives are just as important to you today as his life was then. And Father, you have a will and a purpose for each of us. And we ask, Father, today in this place that you just allow the truth of your word to speak to us, to speak to our hearts and speak to our lives. And Father, that we may give ourselves over to worshiping you and loving you as we ought to love you and as we ought to worship you. And that the way we live our lives would truly exemplify the grace and mercy that is in us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we ask now that you'll bless this time in your word. And we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. As we've seen as we come along, beginning in chapter 2, that there are six pictures revealed in each of these chapters, from chapter 2 to chapter 7. And this is the fifth picture that we see today. The first one, let me remind you, found in chapter 2, with the great statue there, with a head of gold. All the thing that made up that statue there was a picture of the rising and the falling of nations. And this is the pattern in the Gentile world. This is the way of the Gentile nations that were going to exist from Daniel's time up until the time that Christ comes back again. And so there is the picture there of the nations rising and falling, but also a picture of the coming triumphant kingdom, the kingdom of the Messiah of God. In chapter 3, the second picture we saw in the gold statue and there the fiery furnace, we see a picture of faith as it's really expressed and lived out in people's lives. And we see also there that submission to God is what is necessary, what is needed before God. In chapter 4, we saw the vision. He had the vision of the huge tree, and we saw a picture there of the prideful and self-sufficient people who live on the earth, and God will humble them. And you and I are not to walk and to live in pride and self-sufficiency, but we are to walk by faith in this world and this life. And then last week in chapter 5, we saw in Belshazzar's feast, the handwriting on the wall, we saw the picture there of the coming judgment of those who are defiant against God and against the pleasure seekers. 2,500 years approximately has passed by since the event of chapter 5. And men on this earth are still defiant toward God. Still, people seek pleasure in their life as a way of life. Daniel's life was not like that. The lives of God's people is not to be like that. And then today we come and read in chapter 6. We see the history, the true account of Daniel in the lion's den. And what we see here is a picture of the people of God. People, when you and I, when we are faithful to God, when we're obedient to God, when we choose to live holy lives, and we declare the truth of holiness and living, that we will suffer persecution. All you have to do is go read the words of Christ there in the four Gospels. The promise there on the Sermon on the Mount was that we would be persecuted. If we dare to live holy before God and before the world, we will suffer persecution. So here in chapter 6, we see the picture of God's people being persecuted, but also we see the picture of what you and I are to do in times like that. We are to be faithful to God, and that is the picture, and that is the heart of what we look at today. So let's go through this chapter, and then we'll come and focus in there on a few things this morning as we are here today to look at this. First of all, see, Daniel's downfall has been plotted in verses 1 through 9. But in verses 1 through 3, we see that Daniel's position. He, in the previous chapter, the last verse of the previous chapter, Darius the Mede had come into power in the kingdom, and he favored Daniel. And so we see in verse 1 that it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes. And that is what's called satraps. And that is, his kingdom was divided into 120 districts. And they were called satraps. And every person who was assigned to rule over each district was also called a satrap. And so here is what he is talking about, 120 districts over the whole kingdom. And in verse 2, there would be three presidents, three men who would serve in power over all of them. But then again, we see the favor of God upon Daniel in verse 2, and Daniel was favored first in the eyes of Darius the king. And remember the things that we noticed about Daniel. That also is to be true of you and me and of our lives, is those of us who follow Christ. We desire to have the favor of God upon our lives. We desire to have not only the favor of God, but wisdom and understanding of spiritual things in this world and this life. And the third thing we desire from God is the unction of God. And that is that God gives us the wisdom and the words to speak and to say at the times that we need to do that. And so we see here in Daniel's life, he is favored once again by another king there in Babylon. And so it was about, what is this favor about? What is it about it that makes it so special and makes it important? We have to remember and notice that Daniel never used the favor that God had bestowed to him and with the kings and the others there. He never used that to his advantage. He always used it to seek to glorify God. And so there is the purpose of God's favor upon our lives. Do you see and can you testify where God favors you? And in your life, in your relationships, and in your the way, the contacts, and the people that you come across, do you see where God favors you and in the eyes and the lives of other people, and they look to you and there's a favor there? That comes from God. Not so that you and I can have good self-esteem and feel good about ourselves, but so that we might use it as an advantage for the glory of God. We might use it as an advantage to be a witness and a testimony to the saving grace of God. And people will hear and people will listen. Not all people will, but much of the time people will. Well, what is this favor of God? It's there because of one important characteristic, one important truth. And that is, Daniel had a relationship with God. He knew God. He knew him, and that's why he went to God three times a day in honest and in dedicated prayer unto God, because of the relationship that's out there. And I have, I think about this and I mull this over and over in my mind quite a bit, because it's important how we share the gospel with people and what people come to understand when we give them a witness of the gospel. That we're not, when we witness to people, we're not trying to get them to make a decision. We're not trying to, what we say, get saved. I mean, that's what happens, and I understand what people mean by that, but I don't know, I'm concerned. Because when we give out the gospel, it's not so that people can get saved. It's so that people can come to know the one true living God. in a relationship that's real and it's genuine. And how do we know it's real and genuine? Because we see a transformation that takes place in the heart and in the thinking and the lives of people who come to know God in a very real way. And Daniel was such a man. And as a man who had a relationship with God, God favored him in everything that he pursued of God in his life. It was always in the context of what God had revealed himself to be to them. And so he says in verse 2, these three presidents, and Daniel was first over them, and that he did this. Notice the purpose of this found in the latter part of verse 2, so that the king should have no damage. This was the way of the Persians. Also the way of the Medes, whenever they conquered people. Let the people who are there, who will be loyal to you, the new king, let them stay in their positions because people are already following them. So that was their practice, to put the men in power where they were already known and where they already had a reputation, so there wouldn't be an uprising, so there wouldn't be the discontent there. It just kind of smooths things over and makes things go easier. And that was their ploy, and that's how they had come to conquer what was probably the known world at that time. And so then we look at verse 3 here, that it says, then this Daniel was preferred above them and the princes, and because he had an excellent spirit in him. And that is wisdom. An understanding, an unction. All of this was working in Daniel's heart and life. All of this is to work in your life and in my life. The favor of God. To have wisdom, to know understanding. And then to have the unction of God working through us in our lives. And that we know is by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So Daniel's downfall, we see in these first 9 verses, the first 3, that's Daniel's position. But notice in verse 4, we have opposition to Daniel. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find no occasion. They were jealous of his power. And you'll notice later on down in these verses, down in verse 13, what did they bring to the king's mind when they brought the accusation? You know that Jew from the captivity, he disregards you, your word and your decree. That was the accusation. They were jealous. And so they tried to find an occasion in his life to bring a smear against his reputation, to change the king's mind and position concerning Daniel. Now, you and I ought to live our lives in such a way that the world cannot find anything wrong, any occasion of sin, and in you and in me. No double standard, no hypocrisy. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it was with Daniel. But notice they said they couldn't find anything, no error, no fault of any kind, not even in the way that he performed in his job. How should we do our jobs when we go to work? We ought to do our job and our work unto the Lord. But then look at verse 5. It says, then these men said, we are not going to find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it concerning his God. And you know that just rubs the world the wrong way. And so what does the world do? The world comes out against God, against Christ. We see that happening more and more and more in our nation, where we are, where we live. And so we see this, and we see the rise up of these in the government against Daniel, and we see that a persecution beginning to come into play here. Then in verse 6, and these presidents and princes assembled together, and they came and they talked to the king. Can you imagine what happened, what took place there? They came and they made an appeal to the king. Now, we're not sure, we don't know, really know about Darius, and we'll talk a little bit about more him when we come to the next chapter. But Darius just fell right into the trap. Flattery. Well, yeah, you're the king. Flattery, you're the one who's important. And so flattery being there, then you have the openness to do whatever you want to do. And so they came and they talked him into making a decree there and to putting it there before him, and said, in for 30 days... that for 30 days no one can talk to anybody, not to the king, not to anybody, but only, not to God, but only to the king only, and make a petition of him. And notice what they did. They, in their lie, in their deception, they laid the trap for themselves. Because they put in there also what the penalty would be, and that would be that they would be cast into the den of lions. And now King established the decree and signed the writing that is there. And so there was no fault in Daniel's character. There was only his faith, as we see in verse 5. The plot was there. Religious practices. Let's come and let's make laws concerning religious practices. What's happening in our nation today? You see the semblance? You see the resemblance? You see the cycle again? It's cycling up. And it's happened for over 2,000 years. It's happened time and time again. And you notice it's basically only against the one true living God, the Lord Jesus Christ. We see it happening. We see it coming. We see it coming. And so the plot is to come against the God of Daniel, to oppose the law and the way of faith in the heart and the life of Daniel. So they come and they approach the king and they give this great accusation. Now when all this had taken place, look with me at verse 10. When all this had taken place, then we see this change. It says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before time. You see, they lived in a day and a time of corruption in the land. They lived in a day and time of pagan. You know, when we read the Old Testament, we see mostly this God dealing with Israel. Once in a while, some of the enemies of Israel. But basically, the Old Testament is God dealing with his people. And we see all that happening with the kings of Israel, the rise and the fall and the passing of time. But all the other nations are out there. They're in their paganism. They're in their false religions. They're in their wickedness and their evil and all that. But while all this is transpiring and taking place, and then the captivity came along, these kings were conquering all the nations of the world. And now everybody has come under the authority of a Gentile king, a wicked king, a host of them, a whole line of them there. And we see this. Here is Daniel, who is faithful. And that's what God calls you and me to do, to be faithful, utterly faithful to him. We live in this pagan world. They live in this pagan world. We live in a pagan world today. The thing about for you and me is we live in a nation. We were born citizens of a nation that God had put together and brought together. He called men and women from Europe and from those places of the world. And he built a nation upon biblical truth and biblical principles. And if you've read the history and the lives of the founding fathers of America, but every one of them died. Some, most in poverty. Some were executed for the principles of which are in our founding documents that we have lived with for over 200 years. We've had such a blessing on the history of our nation and the history of our lives. And then God puts us in this world and this life at this time. And we now are turning as a nation and as a people. We aren't, but our nation as a whole is beginning to turn away from the one true living God, from the God who gave us our freedoms, who gave us life and who gave us prosperity, but most of all, who gave us grace and mercy through the preaching of the cross. We see animosity growing all through our nation and around the world. So where are you and I going to fit in with all this animosity coming, with all of this, persecution that is arising up for the man in Iran who went there to build an orphanage with the government's permission, the government's blessing, and now he's arrested. He's in the worst prison they say you can be in Iran, and hardly anybody lives through it. It's all over the world. It's beginning to happen in many places. Well, here's the message for us: to remain faithful to God at all costs. And so Daniel's faithfulness was tested. And in verses 10 through 15, we saw that. But look down here with me at verse 15. And it said, "These men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." Then in verse 16, "Now they come and accuse Daniel. And yet they brought Daniel and they cast him into the den of lions. And the king spoke and said unto Daniel, Your God whom you serve continually, he will deliver you." So the witness of Daniel was now to Darius the king. And he said, "Your God will be able to deliver you." Can the world say that of us? Can this world say that of you and of me? And so we come and see that the stone was brought there and he spent the night. The king, instead of going and having his meal and having the entertainment for the night, he put all that aside. And he lamented. He paced through the night. And he desired that Daniel would be safe. And so in the morning he came in haste. And verse 20 says, "And he came to the den, and he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And he said, Daniel, servant of the living God, is the your God whom you serve continually, is he able to deliver you from the lions?" So it was a test of faith for him, but it was a test of faith for Daniel. Daniel did what he knew he ought to do. He ought to keep his relationship with God strong and pure and powerful. And you and I are to keep our relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, strong and powerful in a day and a time in which we live. When our friends, our Christian friends maybe even, are out doing things that they ought not to do, what do you do? What do I do? Do people know that you stand for the true thing, for the right thing? Well, the king did. He looked there and he sought for Daniel to be alive, and he was alive. And Daniel answered in verse 22, "My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me." And so God found, "I'm innocent before you and I'm innocent before my God." That was the decree. That was the testimony before him. And so the king was exceedingly glad. And then he had those that plotted against Daniel come and throw them into the lion's den. Do you notice how sometimes we speak judgment out of our own mouths? When they set the decree, they set their own judgment. And it was they who ended up in the lion's den with the result that they wanted. It was off on themselves. Not only that, but their children and their wives. That was the practice of that day. Then King Darius wrote unto all the people, nations, and language that dwell on the earth, "Peace be to you. Make a decree that the God of Daniel, the one true living God, is the God that we ought to know and serve and honor him." Now, how do we come this morning and pull this together? When we say we know God, we profess our faith in Christ, and we ought to. And when we're called to live each day of our life, how do we live that before the world? Well, faithfulness. You know what the Bible says about real worship? Real worship is obedience to God. Real worship is obedience to God. God manifests his power in the lives of people who are obedient to him, and that means faithfulness and steadfastness. And I don't know about you, but the world really pulls in all directions. The world wants to steal away our spirituality. The world wants to draw us away from our closeness with God. Don't raise your hands, but let me ask you this. At the beginning of the service, when we were coming to our worship and prayer time, did you feel a need to really be closer to God than what you really are? Probably most, if not all. It's because the world opposes God. The world wants you and me to be pulled back away from God. And we must be faithful And we must be obedient to God. We must be steadfast. And that's why we do the things we do in our church ministry. On Sunday evening, we're talking about the spiritual discipline, the things that ought to be in your life and my life that will cause us to grow spiritually. And when we come to an attitude of heart, well, I'm a believer and I believe and I read my Bible and I learn things, but are we coasting along in life, or are we really, really growing with a powerful first love relationship with Jesus Christ? All we have to do is ask ourselves, what really excites my heart and my soul? What really gets me going? Is it God or is it things? Pretty easy to tell. Pretty easy to tell. But you see, obedience is the heart of worship. God told Prophet Samuel, to obey is better than to sacrifice. A heart of obedience, a heart for God, and to love God is more important than to come and to gather together. And well, they came and they offered sacrifices. But to come to church, to obey God, is more important than even church attendance and Sunday school. I don't misunderstand. Oh, we don't have to come to church. I didn't say that. That's how our mind kind of plays that on us. But here in the life of Daniel, a man who stood strong, and at this time in chapter 6, Daniel's probably about 80 years old. We've seen from a young teenage boy to now 80 years old. Now what's going to really confuse us when we come to chapter 7? We're going to go back in time. That's chapter 7 for you. But that happens a lot in the prophets. Most of our heads and to close our eyes as we come this morning. I know we've gone through this chapter, but it was important to read it. It's important to notice Daniel in the lion's den, why he was there, his faithfulness to God. I don't expect any of us to be persecuted in such a way with the threat of death. I don't know, but I don't expect that. I expect more, it would be the opinions of peers, the opinions of other people. There would be a higher degree of persecution for you and me in our day and our time. The pressures that we have to conform to the world, the pressures that are on us to fall away from being steadfast, the pressures of the world to minimize our time with God in prayer and minimize our time with God in the Word of God, the Bible. These are things that you and I have to deal with. And as we come this morning, whatever God has said to you and spoken to you about, you know where your life is with God right now. You know what you love more than anything else in the world. You know how much time you give God in prayer. You know how much time you give to God in opening His Word and pursuing truth. You know that. No one else may know that, but you know that, and God knows that. And remember what Moses said to Aaron after the Lord told it to Moses. We're to regard God as holy. And that is probably the most innermost part of what makes you and me faithful to God and obedient to Him. Do we regard God as holy? I'm sure we do. But do we know what that means? And what we feel and what we think in our heart and what we practice in our lives, does that match up with that high truth that we must regard God as holy? And the whole purpose of salvation is to make you and me acceptable to God. We are to be holy as He is holy. And in the Epistle of Peter it says, all who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You say, I'm a believer and I believe I live a godly life and I'm not suffering persecution. We need to examine that in our life. As we are here this morning in this place, what has God spoken to you? What has He said to you about your heart, about your life? Would you just take this moment and this time, this morning, right now?